welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Stahlmann.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, we are going to have a guest host. It is Sonja Ende, who is working as an LED consultant, mostly in African countries. I would like to take this opportunity to also highlight that MesoPartner is about to host its first LED Academy in Africa. We will have that in South Africa from the 22nd to the 26th of September 2008. And you can find details on that at the MesoPartner website, which is www.mesopartner.com. And now on to Sonja.
Welcome to the LED podcast. The topic of today's episode is the role of radio in local economic development. And my interview partner here is Veronique Stolz from GTZ Nigeria, who is working with radio stations in the country. But please, Veronique, could you introduce yourself and your work to the listeners?
Yes, I'm working for the GTZ in Nigeria, as you rightly said. And more specifically, I'm working for the employment-oriented private sector development program that we are implementing in Nigeria. I personally am in charge of the collaboration with radio stations in the context of our private sector development program.
What would you say? What is the role of mass media, and especially what is the role of radio in a local economic development process?
Well, we see radio, as well as other mass media, having three key roles to play in the LED process. First of all, it can serve as a channel for information flow, providing information for the business community. And secondly, radio can be seen as a platform to enhance voice and debate in a local community, meaning it gives voice to business people who have issues to address and want a broad audience to hear about it. And it can foster debate between different development actors and the private and the public sector. And finally, we see independent media to have a role as kind of a watchdog role. That means that by independently investigating and exposing activities of development actors, they can assure that there's a public watchdog observing this process.
Please tell me, why did you actually select radio as a mass media and not, for example, TV or newspapers or other means of mass communication? Why radio?
Well, the aim of our program, obviously, is to reach out to a broad audience. So if you look at the environment we're working in Nigeria, radio seems to be the mass media that reaches out to the biggest proportion of the population. And why is that? That is because radio, you can listen to the radio anywhere you are. You don't need electricity supply. People use battery-run radios. And also it reaches out also to the illiterate. So therefore, radio is the most appropriate mass media for our means.
Thank you very much. What kind of interventions do you actually carry out in the GTZ program? What is your support to radio in the LED process?
Well, in our program, we have different approaches to support radio, but also the general communication between the different development actors. On the one hand, we try to support government in building their capacity to actually use radio or the mass media as a tool to disseminate information, for instance, on new policies, and also to use the radio as a platform for dialogue between the public and the private sector. So what we try to do is to enhance the communication skills of government officials or government institutions. Then, on the other hand, we try to also build the capacity of the private sector for them to actually effectively use the media to bring their concerns to the public and to enhance their voice, as I said earlier. So what we actually do is, well, we work with business membership organizations and we try to give them capacity building to understand what advocacy is all about and to tell them how they can join hands to really address their issues and bring them to the media. So lastly, our main intervention is to actually give media institutions, or in our case radio stations, support for them to be innovative in covering topics relating to local economies. And more specifically, we are actually supporting three radio stations for the moment, and we gave them training, capacity building to develop formats for small business programs, which have contents which is driven by audience and which have interactive formats with audience appeal.
This media development sounds very interesting. So let's invite somebody to our interview here who is actually working for one of those three local radio stations. And we would like to welcome Kazim. Please, would you also introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. My name is Kasim Abdulkader, and I work for a local radio station in Suleja. Suleja is in Niger State, and Niger State is in Nigeria, Africa. The name of my radio station is Zuma Radio. And basically, like you said in your introduction, I work on the practical side. Yes, I work on the field. I get to meet people. I get to discuss with people. And I get to know and also broadcast the problems, the challenges they are facing. And we get to also discuss about the possible solutions to that will affect their day-to-day businesses and give them better profit margins and overall a better life.
What kind of issues do you typically discuss in your radio program?
Well, we discuss issues that affect small businesses. And when you look at a transitional country like Nigeria, we have a lot of such issues. Water supply is a problem. Power supply is a problem. Getting access to markets is a problem. Now, we're not only talking about the abstract market in terms of buying and selling. We're talking about common issues like having a good road network to where there are people to buy. It remains a problem in a country like Nigeria. So these are some of the issues that my program, that my small business program, tries to address.
You are working in a quite rural area. What kind of language do you use so that everybody, all your listeners, can understand?
If you know Nigeria and other African countries or Asian countries well, you'll discover that there are several and various languages. In where I operate, Hausa language is a dominant language in which I broadcast my program.
So you are broadcasting in Hausa so that everybody can follow your program. Please tell me more. What is your program about?
Well, the name of my program is Kason Chimu Ayo. The duration is 30 minutes. It airs on Mondays at 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. There's a repeat broadcast on Wednesday at 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And what we have done with the content is to try to get the listeners involved, try to create an audience base for it. And what we did was to get two characters who are comedians and who are popular comedians in the area in which we operate. So we have named these characters Mekaswa. Mekaswa stands for the owner of the market. And there's the co-anchor or the co-presenter who is called Delalia. Now, Delalia is a colloquial name for someone who deals in second-hand stuff, like jewelry, like plates and spoons, small stuff, like even clothing. So we have those two characters who every day come together to discuss problems, and then they send out a reporter who goes to the small businesses, interviews the small businesses on the problems they face. We also try to get an authority who will try to solve these problems, and then we spice it up with music and a bit of comedy here and there.
How do you identify those problems or issues that you are going to address in your program?
Thank you very much for this question. What we try to do is we try to do a survey of the problems that are presently faced by, that are currently faced by small businesses. We go around and we try to talk to the small businesses or those who are actually in the practical angle of it, that what problems should we discuss? What are those issues that are mitigating your operations? We get those topics and then we come back to the studio and our editorial team sits and prioritizes the most important issue, and then we formulate our program around this issue.
Kasim, who is actually contributing to your program? And of course, how do you finance it?
Well, we are financing this program by collaborating with public-private dialogue platforms, in which there are several. The public-private dialogue platform means we bring together small business operators. All small businesses we can get our hands on, we bring them together, and then we now refer to them as public-private dialogue platforms, and then we're able to tell them that this is what they're supposed to do. So they help us in two aspects. One, they try and help us with the content. We get the issues we have to discuss, and then we put it in as the content. And then the second aspect where they come in is that since they are small business operators, we try to let them know that they need to advertise their small businesses. And for those small businesses, in advertising those small businesses, we ask them for a token. So at the end of the day, this token drives the program.
So the people have the opportunity to, first of all, share relevant problems and issues and address them. And on the other hand, they can also advertise for their own small businesses for a small fee that you are charging.
Yes, definitely they help us in developing content. The content imparts on them. Now we become the interface between the government, which is the public organizations, and also them who are the private. So we provide an interface for this platform. We hear their problems, we air it to the public, which is the government. The government tries to come in to help them solve their problems. And in other words, advertising is very expensive. We don't get any subvention from government. So ideally, they can't afford the fees we charge. But under this platform, under this dialogue platform, they're able to be able to afford the token we charge for the advertising.
Thank you very, very much for sharing your experience with us. And good luck and all the best, and keep up the good work. Veronique, how do these local radio stations actually finance their radio programs and their broadcasting? Is this fully financed by GTZ?
Well, in fact, when we first started our collaboration with radio stations, we were actually the ones fully sponsoring the production as well as the airtime of the radio programs. But eventually we were looking at a way to make our approach more sustainable, and so as to ensure that whenever we leave or finalize the program, that the radio programs would still be on air. So we changed our approach, and now we're actually only giving capacity building to the radio stations, and we're supporting them to find people financing their programs. So they have a twofold approach. On the one hand, they are getting small advertisers out of the local business community. They basically offer at cheap rates advertisers to advertise on their program. And on the other hand, we are currently supporting the network of the three stations to get sponsors, big sponsors for the programs. So we try to link them up with big companies like telecommunication companies who are interested in financing, sponsoring these programs.
Being an actor of the development corporation, we are also very interested in kind of impact that these radio programs created in the local environment. Do you have any success stories that you would like to share with the listeners? What kind of impact did you achieve so far with the radio programs?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to give you some concrete examples about some impact we have reached. I mean, for instance, there was one story where the radio program was addressed by farmers in a community. The farmers were complaining that fertilizer that was to be distributed by the government never reached them. So the radio station went and investigated this issue, and the farmers, who initially thought the local governments were the ones that had, I don't know, like put the fertilizer in their pockets or sold it out, initially it was found out that it was not the local government, but it was actually local leaders who were chairing these committees, who were in charge of the distribution of the fertilizers, who had never distributed this fertilizer. So by airing this, and by they had put pressure on these local leaders, and eventually the process was made transparent to the public, and eventually the fertilizer reached the intended recipients.
This is quite a success story. Please, do you have any other story that can display the role of radio programs in rural areas?
Another instance I can think of is that once one public-private dialogue platform of one community addressed a problem that fishermen in the community or some fishermen were using chemicals for fishing. And so the rest of the fishermen community was put at threat, their livelihoods, because all the small fish was killed. And so again, it was investigated by one of our radio programs, and they basically exposed the hazards of using chemicals for fishing, the hazards that it posed to the fishermen community, but also to the consumers. And they taught people how to recognize whenever fish was being that had been killed, where chemicals were actually used. So by this awareness creation, the public actually was aware of this and stopped buying these fish that which were killed by the chemicals. And so apparently it has led to a drastic reduction of use of chemicals, and this again improved the livelihoods of these fishermen.
Would you like to share another story with the listeners on the successes of radio programs?
Well, one other story we have is that recently the two markets in one of our states burned down, like two localities, and there was a committee set up by the government, by the state government, to compensate the market people for their losses. And so radio again addressed this issue on their programs, and by that tried to follow up on this money that had been made available by the government, to see how it's being distributed, that the right people get the funds, and etc. This is a very good example of radio playing a watchdog role in their communities.
And even more to this, it's not only the watchdog role, but also awareness creation. It's a powerful platform for public-private dialogue, and it reaches out to people even in the rural areas, even to people who are illiterate and who don't have access to other channels of communication. For those of us who are a bit more interested in the theoretical background of the role of mass media, you are now in the process of publishing a paper. Will you tell us a bit about this paper?
Yeah, this paper has been written by Gavin Anderson, Tobias Stolz, and myself. Yeah, we have written the paper, and it gives a bit, as you said, theoretical background on the topic, but also gives some concrete tools, especially also for media development, and gives contacts of persons who could help in the process. So we're about publishing this paper through the open space section of the GTZ website, www.gtz.de. And we also intend to publish the paper on the South African LED Network website, which is www.led.co.za. And of course, you can always reach us through either our EOPSD website, or you can contact me under v.stolz, this is S-T-O-L-Z, at eopsd.net. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Veronique, for sharing your experience with us. Also, thank you very much, Kasim, for joining our interview today. I wish you both all the best, and again, thanks for coming.